Welcome to A View Beyond the Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Jolene Lenz, and I love to share those stories of those courageous souls who have transformed their lives to align with their heart or their inner calling. Their stories may just inspire you to take that next step. Joseph Campbell said, "Follow your bliss, and the universe will open doors for you where there were only walls." Let's find out from my next guest if that's been her experience. One note, if you haven't downloaded yet my free ebook, Make Your Own Music, please pick your copy up. It's a metaphor for awakening our creativity, and it's designed to help you pursue your bliss. So my guest, who I'm delighted to have here today, is Lisa Hawes. I'd like to start first with a bit of information about Lisa. So Lisa is a trainer, she's a teacher, a coach, a senior marketing consultant, and strategist who has been providing technology, business, and leadership training and guidance for over 25 years. She holds a master's degree in performance, learning, and leadership. She consults with organizations who offer instructional design to stimulate long-term learning and retention. This, coupled with her extensive marketing background, make her a whiz. Why? Lisa seizes the opportunity to align the learning experience to match their brands. She shares their values and core offerings in new and innovative ways. Lisa, I'm thrilled to have you here today. Welcome. I'd also like to share with everybody that I met Lisa in 2010 during a mastermind type meeting setting, and had the opportunity to get to know you, Lisa, and hired Lisa after I saw how brilliant she is in early 2011, when I owned a mining recruitment business. So I just want the listeners to know we have had the opportunity to collaborate directly, and it was just such a gift. So Lisa, thank you for joining today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jolene. It's a grand pleasure to see the next phase of your world.
Well, it's a grand pleasure to share it and share you with the listeners. So I'm going to start, Lisa, by asking my infamous question is, what kind of led you to your inner calling, and maybe share a little bit more about what led you and what that inner calling is?
Of course, I'm happy to share. You know, like so many people, I started off in the land of corporate America before I walked into my entrepreneurial world. I was a non-traditional college student. I went back to school just after the age of 25 to finish up my degree. And when I graduated, 9/11 had just occurred. So I had this degree in marketing because I loved creativity and connecting people, and love words and language and how they can impact individuals. And as a small child, my biggest wish, my beauty queen question of what would you want for the world, has always been for everyone to just be a little bit more aware of one another. So after 9/11 occurred, I couldn't get a job in marketing. We just didn't have an economic environment where that space was open. So I shifted over to sales, and I went into full-on corporate America sales, and, you know, smiled and dialed and telemarketed and knocked on doors, did all of the things that salespeople do. And my first job was actually in marketing, which was really cool. So it was a print trade show company. So it was at least in my passion. I went through the sales world. I moved around a little bit, became a trainer in many of the environments that I was in to help people, empower them to make good choices in establishing their own sales business, referral-based business, which is really the, I found was much more enjoyable than telemarketing and cold calling. I spent about 8 years in the sales space and really found myself to be very unhappy with the process. It was this hero to zero environment where I constantly was 1 month blowing my quota out of the water, and then the next month I couldn't reach it. And it was just this emotional roller coaster that involved in that world. And I was becoming so unhappy with my environment that I would literally get sick in the morning before I'd go to work. It was really sort of God sort of tapping me on the shoulder, so to speak, right? Of, hey, there's more out here. I felt stuck, but I also felt really not empowered to make steps forward. I stood in fear a lot. I wasn't sure what the world and the universe held for me next. And suddenly at the age of 54, my mother passed away. And I was rocked to the core. We were close. We had our moments. Mothers and daughters always have their moments, but she was really somebody I just always expected to be here. And then at such a young age, passing away of a heart attack, suddenly I had this epiphany that life is short and happiness has to be my choice. Love has to be my choice. And so I came back. I put my notice in at my corporate job. I didn't know what I was going to do next. And came home. I was living with my then boyfriend, now husband, and said, oh my gosh, I just quit my job. So funny. You want to talk about synergy, which I'm a big believer in, synchronicity and synergy. He said, I kind of did too. So we actually both quit our jobs at the same time. So you want to talk about having to light a fire under yourself to find that passion. So I spent a couple weeks just healing and trying to listen to my inner intuition of what it is that I wanted to do. And we went camping and I read a book called The Thank You Economy by Gary Vaynerchuk that was all about how can you be in service of gratitude? And I remember sitting in the forest reading the book and, you know, turning one page at a time and just absorbing this new idea of thinking about business. And I stood up and started to yell at the squirrels, I've got it. I know what I'm going to do next. I'm going to help people move into gratitude in their businesses. So I came home and I didn't know what that meant or how that looked, but I didn't need to know. I just knew that was a passion. And I came back and I had started some networking and everyone kept asking me, like, what's this LinkedIn? What's Facebook? What's Twitter? And in 2009, 2010, during this period of time, those networks were just getting established. I had been a technology bug since I was a wee kid, like learning on Lisa 2 how to code when I was 15 kind of thing. And just have always loved technology. So I joined MySpace in the 90s. That's how long I'd been on social media. When I was in my sales environment, I used LinkedIn and a lot of the technology tools to network and stay in front of people in a really organic and authentic way, where gratitude was a piece of the message, where empowerment and learning, all of those things are just my core values. After I'd been doing that for a couple months of some networking and people kept asking me about watching and social media, I was watching at 3 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep because I was obviously in some anxiety of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do next? I was watching Donnie Deutsch on CNN was talking to the woman who created Spanx. And she's like, I can't find it in the marketplace. So I'm just going to go ahead and create it. And so my aha moment came on of like, everyone keeps asking me about teaching them social media and they couldn't find it in the marketplace because it didn't exist yet. So like, okay, I love technology. I love marketing. I love connecting people. My big aha moment is I'm going to help people do social media for their business, to help them broaden their audience, to help them create more awareness. And again, spread that message of gratitude for the people that they do business with, as well as a way to express what does it look like to do business with me. So that's how it all got started.
You know, and I know I've heard parts of that story, but everybody, you always learn something new. And even us too, when we know one another. It's so great, Lisa, to hear more of how that all orchestrated. That's why I love doing this podcast. So synchronicity obviously was a huge factor. And in terms of Joseph Campbell's quote, have you really seen the forces move with you when you follow or in alignment with your heart and your calling, that everything just seems to line up? Can you talk a little bit about that with the listeners in terms of, I know you mentioned some serendipity and how things synchronistically, you quit the same day your husband did and came home, but did you find that people kind of came to your aid and you were kind of in the flow? Because I do believe in a flow. And I don't know if you want to share too about, we both happened to go through a program called Get Clarity, which talks a little bit about that.
Yes, absolutely. So there's a couple of things in there that I'd love to address and just expand upon. First, synchronicity and synergies. I literally hung out my shingle of, okay, I'm going to do social media for people. I'm going to help them in that way. I immediately picked up 15 clients. I picked up an intern who understood technology and Twitter better than I did. We literally perched on my desk in the basement to make the first kind of 6 months work. And he kept saying, we should be a marketing company. We should really not just social media, we should do marketing. And I'm like, let's just focus on the social media at the moment. It's being invented. I can see a space to be a thought leader. Instead of just full on marketing, let's just concentrate on that niche, which I did for about 8 years. One of the things that appeared very early in my business from a synergy point of view is that mastermind that we were in. There was a gentleman in that group by the name of Gary Hawk, and he had a program called Get Clarity that was all about positive thinking. How can you rewire your brain to, when you start to fall into that space of fear, how can you move better into a place of trust where you can open to the gifts of the universe, to God, or whatever you want to call it out there? And I immediately joined the organization because I knew fear was what I knew and trust was what I didn't know. And even though I had taken this leap, it was because I knew if I didn't leave corporate that moment, my soul would die. Like, it was just so loud. And so when I stepped then into my business, I'm like, I was freaked out. I was afraid of what was the future. How was I going to pay my bills? You know, it was a big question mark for that period of time in my life. Then when we joined Clarity, Get Clarity, it was a mastermind of entrepreneurs that were there to solve problems with each other and really brainstorm using positive thinking. How can you move forward in trust? And oh, there's so many words, you know, how do you, from martyrdom into chaotic energy where all things are possible? How do you move from victim to empowerment or withdraw to modeling? And so I really adopted those trust words as my core values. My team and I talked about them constantly. I spoke to them about with my clients that was really how we moved forward in the space of social media, because I didn't want it to turn into this fear-mongering kind of space that is about freaking people out in order to get you to be involved in the brand. Instead, I wanted a positive message to be the thing to attract. Now, you're seeing the world of social media nowadays, it's got a little toxicity to it, which is also one of the reasons why I stepped out and went big marketing. We'll talk about that as we move forward in this interview. But I found that mastermind gave you and I common language. It gave my husband and I common language. It gave my clients common language that we could really move in this upper frequency of possibility that is only possible through a trust operating system.
Beautiful. And I was going to say, Lisa, it takes tremendous, I found, from going through Clarity, and you were much Get Clarity. You went through it much longer than I did. I did just a short intensive program with them. But that getting out of our fear mindset when we are programmed, you know, to believe that there's so little out there that we have to go fight for ours. And that really, you know, the anxiety that is produced when we have those limiting beliefs, I had to really examine mine. It sounds like you've examined yours and you embraced looking at those and then bringing them into your workplace, not only with yourself, but with your husband and your employees, to create kind of a new, I would call it a foundation that is much more, and just so everybody knows, it's this foundation that Lisa and I are talking about is collaborative. To me, it's in connection with helping one another and seeing the best and bringing that forward. But anyway, how did it lead from you going there to now doing what you're doing and obviously the heart desire to, sounds like, you know, transcend into doing more into marketing. You're working with organizations doing classes. Can you tell us a little bit about how that expanded?
I'm happy to, actually. That's, I think, my greatest success story in all of this. I started my company, actually, at Social in 2010, as you mentioned. In 2017, I believe is the year of the full eclipse. We had a full eclipse that happened. It was 2017, 2018. It was right in there somewhere. And my husband and I decided we had purchased a camper and we were going to take 2 weeks off and we were going to drive to Oregon and be in our camper and watch the full eclipse. It was a little festival and about science and astronomy. And it was just a really amazing experience. And it was the first time I had taken any measurable time off from my business. I had established it in a way that it could function without me for a short period of time and still create revenue. And I knew that I needed a break. I needed a break to hear myself. I was finding myself incredibly dissatisfied with the life that I had created for myself because I was just a workaholic. Like I just worked all the time. So we went on this 2-week vacation and on our way home, I literally cried all the way home of like, I don't want to go back. I don't feel it anymore. I just feel drained and uninspired. And social media at that point, it was 2017 because we had just gone through the election the prior year and things got very toxic. So I spent 60 hours a week watching toxicity and people making things up and then running with it. And it was just like this big gossip mill that was driving our reality. And it was a really interesting place to be in the world. So I, once again, I have this gift to listen to myself and know when my creativity and my soul is uninspired, I'm not in service to me, and I'm certainly not in service to others. So I came back and respectfully started to shutter Actuate Social. I looked at selling it for a moment because I wanted to get back that asset, but social media was such a moving target, kind of building a business on quicksand that I didn't feel an integrity of really handing off what I had created. I instead wanted to maintain some of the pieces of the things that I had created and move into a new incarnation. So first thing I did is notified my employees and my customers, let them know there was a deadline. They were going to have to remove themselves from the organization. I waited for everyone to get off the proverbial bus before I crashed it. And at that moment, the sense of relief that I had from the weight of, you know, an office and making sure my employees had all the technology that they needed and the support that they needed and the customer service and all of the hats that go into running a formal brick and mortar style business was gone. And so I got an opportunity to once again go sit in the forest and listen to myself. And what I heard was I needed a little break. I really wanted to take all of the experimenting and all of the knowledge around the data that I had been able to acquire in the social media space and apply it to a singular brand. So I got a part-time position working at a direct mail company of all things. One would think that wouldn't be around anymore, but it is, who wanted me to come and establish their marketing department. They wanted an internal organization that spoke their voice, that their website was done in their branding, as well as shifting their brand to create a little larger awareness for an industry that one would think isn't doing well, but is actually expanding to some extent. We've got a little digital fatigue going on. So I joined that team. I was also teaching Google Analytics through an organization out of the UK. So I was traveling around training and my soul said, you are done with this knowledge. You need new knowledge. So I took the big leap to go and get a master's degree. And that you want to talk about synergy is a lovely story. I was teaching Google Analytics on the road. I was in Seattle and a woman in the class heard me say, you know, I'd love to teach more academically. I think that I have a talent here. I'd like to influence the younger population about marketing and that at some point it's going to be machines talking to machines. So how can we do that with ethics and privacy and gratefulness still involved? And I called a woman, she had given me a name at the University of Denver and said, this woman is always recruiting entrepreneurs for their online teaching program. You should call her. So I took the leap of faith and called the woman on the phone, realized that we were alumni of the same university back in Illinois, which is where I went to get my undergrad. She was looking for an entrepreneur who had been a thought leader in an industry. So social media thought leader who had some notoriety in the community. I did get written up in Forbes and a couple other things. It was really cool. So those moments in Actuate were really fun. And she said, okay, great. It sounds like you're lining up. What's your master's in? And I was like, oh no, I don't have a master's degree just yet. She's like, you got to have one of those in order to teach graduate level. Well, I thought I was doing for undergrad. I didn't realize she was a graduate level program. So I was like, okay, I'll be back. So I went and got a degree in organizational leadership with an emphasis in performance and learning. what awakened me in that learning environment? First, the discipline that it takes to run a business came very much in hand when it came to getting a degree. I was very disciplined and did my work and did very well. I graduated with distinction. My soul was filled with new knowledge, and I was reawakened to the fact that when I was 6 years old, I used to line up my stuffed animals and teach them how to do stuff. So it was like, okay, I'm supposed to be a teacher as well as this marketing person. And so graduated, I left that little position at the direct mark company because it was part-time. I wanted to expand my offering. And so in January, hung my shingle back out, picked up 15 clients again. And now it's just me doing me and consulting and teaching and building classes for people to align with their core value, their brand voice, and really start to establish institutional knowledge that if we capture it the right way, can help solve a lot of problems that we have going on in the world right now, not just in the business space, but social equality and justice. All of those things come from institutional knowledge being passed forward. So it's just like this amazing synchronicity again, where the world just met me at the door when I was ready to do the next thing.
Lisa, I am not surprised, because you said a couple key things there. And you mentioned that first of all, you met some resistance. You were finding yourself uninspired anymore, and you started to really listen. I think the first thing we have to do is just get still enough to hear the inner voice and to recognize something isn't working. So the fact that you took some much needed time off, I think, again, as a society, we're focused on make more, do more, make more, instead of sometimes let's just take a step back, let's take a breather. I think the only way I found to listen to my inner voice is to get still. And you, it appears, found your voice in nature, in the trees, both times. Isn't that amazing? Nature is such a healing force out there. So for any of the listeners out there who are saying, oh my gosh, Lisa has all these amazing skills. I mean, you mentioned you're a little bit of a tech geek. You have the desire to teach, and you put all those together. Those individuals that may not know where their strengths are, is there any tips from your learning to get clarity, to find clarity for yourself, that you would just share with the listeners?
Oh, I'd love to share couple of tips that I can pass forward. First, get quiet and listen to yourself. I was at a conference actually this last weekend, and I joke that I go and involve myself with this group of people 5 times a year, and it's the only 5 times I meditate. And I was meditating at this conference and realized, I got really loud and clear that I need to meditate more. I need to get more quiet, more still with myself. Even if it's only for 10 minutes a day, to stop and check in to what is your soul's desire and what's that real passion. And if you listen to that and let that lead your way, not only does bliss happen, but financial abundance happens, healthy, integrated, balanced life happens. I don't work all the time anymore because I know where I want my focus to be. The second is, work with a powerful mentor or coach that can help keep your mindset focused. Even today, I work with a coach who I check in with once a month to keep my mindset positive, remind myself of my purpose and passion, because life can get distracting at times. And I, as much as I adore my husband, that's just not what he is for me. He's a partner and a teammate. And when, I make decisions that hit the financial pocketbook, sometimes he's got a different perspective than I do. So really having a strong mentor. The last I'm going to throw out there to the women of the world, although I'm sure you've got men and women listening to this, and men, you're awesome, awesome, awesome. But women do business a little differently. We are a little more sensitive souls. We have a slightly more feminine style. And there are men out there that have feminine style as well. So I don't want that to sound stereotypical or binary, because I know we definitely live in a non-binary world. But for those that have a little more sensitive soul, that have a little gentler hand, that cry when it comes to business, because we all cry, that women find women, or or men for that matter, I suppose, find a support group of people that are in a similar space to you that you can bounce ideas off of, voice your doubts. Don't do that to your clients, right? You do that with your friends or your circle, and really let them in at a level that can truly support you instead of trying to go it alone. It can be a very isolating and lonely place when you go into business by yourself, especially nowadays, pandemic, and we all work from home. I work by myself. So having that really strong connection of community is a really important piece to keep yourself centered.
Great. And I was going to say, don't you think too, it's just one of the fears I've always had when I've started a new organization or business is the fear of failure. And, you know, what is that going to look like? And I know as an entrepreneur, you've been an entrepreneur for years. I believe you have to not look at it as fear of failing and get out there and look at it as every opportunity that we stumble and fall is such a learning opportunity to grow and to connect and learn something deeper about yourself. So I think a lot of the times people don't take that leap of faith is because they go, what if I do fail? What if this is a financial flop? And I can speak for myself. One of the questions I have for you is I've started a number of businesses, I think 3 or 4, not all of them made it. So have you had some failures that you've learned from? Because I'm certainly, success to me takes years. You know, when people see us successful, they may think, oh, that was so easy for them, but it's usually years of work. What are your thoughts on failure?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Okay. Here we want to talk about synchronicity again. That was a big component of this conference I just came from. First of all, when you first start something in the world, you're never going to be perfect out of the gate. You're going to fail. That's inevitable. So just knowing failure is an inevitability in some form helps open you up and move you into that trust space of course, when I fail, I'll learn. That is where learning happens. That is the rubber hits the road, so to speak, is when you fear, when you fall down, when you fail, when things don't go as expected. I also think those are the things, that's the wood that fuels the fire. Like that's right. You have to chop down the tree, so to speak. The first time you take a whack at it, it's going to take a minute, right? And by the time you've taken the tree down completely with all of your failures or your learning lessons, these beautiful, interesting opportunities, and now you have this tree sitting in front of you, that's the thing that fuels your passion. It's what leads you to the thing you're supposed to do on this planet. If you were perfect out of the gate of everything, life would be pretty boring, right? I'm going to self-confess here that I'm a big Tyra Banks fan. I can't help myself. She's just a powerhouse. She's part of my world. And she talks about perfect as being boring. And so those moments of quote unquote failure are the lovely sparks in life that make you go, that didn't work like I expected it to. And now practice, right? Practice isn't about being perfect. Practice is about being in service. And the more you practice, the more you learn, the more you can be in service to the people that you serve, as well as in service to yourself. So I love failure. This is my fourth business too. And I have also had a couple that just didn't go well. They didn't go as expected. Even Actuate Social, when I came back and decided to shut that business down, I was asked at that point, how does it feel to have failed? And I found it to be a really interesting question because I didn't view it as failing at all. I thought of it as the life cycle of the business had ended and my passion had shifted. But my community looked at that as a failure. So there was this essence of shame that kind of came along with that and vulnerability. And of course, Brené Brown, I'm sure some of your listeners have heard of her. She came about that same time with her TED Talk. And I listened to vulnerability is a place where creation happens. That shame is a place of power, actually, because it triggers us to remember we're just being vulnerable with one another. And if you can trust that vulnerability, the creativity that happens afterwards is astounding and amazing and clear and is the drive that often you're looking for in order to take that next step, even in the face of fear of failure.
So I love that you said Brené Brown, and I couldn't agree with you more, Lisa. Brené did come about in that time frame, and her books helped me and encouraged me to continue to have the courage to pursue my dream and not look at failure as anything but an opportunity to grow and to learn and to get more in touch with our soul's journey. And I love the way you word it, in service to others. So I don't think it gets better than that when we can offer our greatest attributes and talents and share those with the world in ways that sometimes even surprise us, that we, you know, as we navigate through this and meet the right people fortuitously, I believe we're kind of even shown a way because, you know, I've been guided into doing things that I never thought I would end up doing, like mining. I knew nothing about mining, but back to you. And one of the questions I have, and what I was going to ask, and you already answered, is who is one of your favorite go-to speakers? You mentioned Tyra Banks, Brené Brown. Is there a quote you keep in front of you? Because I know you're a quote lady. Like me, you love your quotes. Is there one or two, and you don't have to cite them now, but if you do know one that kind of keeps you inspired every day, I'm just curious what it is.
You know, I have a couple. I read a lot. So, you know, Byron Katie, Breaking Through Limiting Beliefs is one that's real popular right now. I've also found a couple books cleaning my library recently. The one that sits in front of me at the moment is an affirmation, and it has to do with being bigger and more visible in the world. One of the things that I do is I coach people in their business around marketing, and there's a lot of fear around being visible, speaking out proudly about the thing that you offer, especially again, working with women, they kind of shut down, and we were taught young, you know, be quiet and don't be big and bold in the world. So there's a couple things that first, be bold and mighty forces will arrive is always one for me. So boldly going out there and knowing that the winds behind me will help propel me the rest of the way. While boldness has certainly gotten me in over my head a couple of times, my second favorite quote is throw it over the fence and I'll figure out how to get over it, right? So that if I've got my goal over there, I just got to figure out how to get over this fence. And then my goal is sitting there waiting. And then the last is this affirmation, which is, it's about being a woman who is emerging brilliantly to show up with passion and genius and value, and how by being in service, see, I'm going to give you this. I'm an extraordinary leader committed to conscious transformation and purpose-filled living. So what I'm keeping that in front of me for is as I'm reinventing this next phase of my life of market coaching, strategy, instructional design, as I'm wrapping together this new skill set with my old skill set, I want to do it in a really integrated way that lights me up, keeps me purposed, vision oriented, and not draining. It doesn't drain me when I function from that space. It livens me up. I get the end of the day and think, yeah, that was a great day because it was purposeful and integrated and passionate and value driven.
Well, you know, purpose and creativity, I really believe are what bring a fulfilling life, that make our lives so much more fulfilled. And when we stay in those corporate jobs, and I was there too, and you're drained, that does not feel like fulfillment, does it?
It doesn't. And, you know, I don't want to take away from the corporate America, because there are people who are very passionate and on purpose in the corporate space.
True.
I knew young, I was never going to fit into the box. I just knew young that my parents were business owners. So I grew up in small business. I worked in the restaurant community until I was 30. So that was also very kind of entrepreneurial oriented, because all about how much service I gave was the tip I got. And as I move forward as an entrepreneur, you know, that's not for everyone either. But if it's calling, if there's something calling your listeners, I encourage you to listen to it. And if you feel uncomfortable about leaving corporate, then find it in corporate America. And find it in your personal moments, and find it in your friends and your family and your cohorts. There can be purpose, even in structure, even though you don't have to create it yourself.
I am glad you said it. You said it way better than I did. Lisa, it has been a joy having you on of You Beyond the Ordinary podcast today. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Jolene, thank you so much for having me on. This has been a great pleasure. And if any of your listeners are interested in learning more about me, they can do that at lisamhaas.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn, LisaHaas1. So thank you so much for having me on.
Always a delight. And I just want to share with all of you out there, Lisa and I are going to be hosting a webinar together on something that we both have had the opportunity to work with LinkedIn. So it is called Become a LinkedIn Champion. We will be offering this webinar in February, on February 10th and 12th, and we will be offering job searching techniques and tips, as well as both of us being entrepreneurs, ways you can utilize LinkedIn to really get in front of your ideal audience to help you grow your business. So one of our common missions that Lisa and I have is to help really elevate and empower our listeners and our guests, or I should say, and our clients. So we hope you join us in on LinkedIn, everybody. And to learn more, you can go to my website, jolinelenz.com. And my name is JOLINELENZ.com. All right. Well, everybody, make it an incredibly great day. Here's to following our bliss. Thanks again.
Thank you.